Our reading for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 42nd verse. Jesus called the disciples to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Our hearts and prayers go out today to the many who are suffering from the recent hurricane tragedy that swept through Florida. One of those towns or cities was Naples, a city where I happened to serve years ago as a pastor when I was newly out of seminary. I remember one day, right in the front row of church, a guest came in, a man probably in his 40s, maybe early 50s, and he had with him a Bible that he held like this, kind of up at his chest, and sat right in the front row. And it was a little different. I hadn't seen somebody do that in our church, but after the service, I greeted him and talked to him, and he seemed a little forlorn and like he needed some help. And we had kind of a little coffee time after that, and then went into Bible study. And one of our elders came up to me during Bible study right before it started, and he said, "Did you meet that man?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "We have to help him. He is really in need of help." And I said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "I've been talking to him, and he has a lot of problems in his life he needs help with. I just gave him $100. I think our church should maybe take up a door offering to help him." Well, we belong to a local food shelf, and so I contacted the local food shelf to give him his name so that if he came in there, he could get food that we helped donate. And this lady said to me, "Do you know this man at all?" And I said, "No, this is the first time he's been to our church." And she said, "Did he bring a Bible to your church?" I said, "Yes, he did." And she said, "Did he show you the Bible, that it was a confirmation Bible, probably a Lutheran confirmation Bible?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Just so you know, he has one of those for every denomination in town." And she said, "He goes church to church and tries to appeal to Christians to help him out." And it reminded me, when I'd been in seminary, they warned us about these situations. When you first get to a church, pastors, some guys know this now, that be careful, there are people out there that may try to take advantage of a new pastor as he arrives in a community. Now, why would he go to a church? Why would he go to a Christian church and seek to take advantage of charity? Because he would know, as most people do, that this is one of the great virtues of the Christian faith that Christ teaches to us, is to be kind-hearted, merciful, and charitable to other people. And so it's easy for that sometimes to be taken advantage of. In the text before us, Jesus addresses this very concept in his text with this text spoken to his disciples. The real context here is that two of the disciples, James and John, just earlier than this, had come asking Jesus if they could have positions of authority and power when he returns with his kingdom. And Jesus now uses this conversation as an example to teach all of his church the proper understanding of these things and how differently his kingdom operates in the kingdom of faith, how different it operates from the kingdom of the world. The world measures greatness by how much power you have or how much you can get and how much you can wield and authority that you can maybe show over other people. And that fits into just a natural, sinful urge and instinct inside of each one of our hearts. We have a tendency to want what's best for us. We are very well trained in our minds for self-interest. You see it in little kids too, right away. And it doesn't change in us as we get older. We just learn how to mask it a little bit better. But we still have it. That first impulse of something when things come up is, well, what's it going to do for me? What can I get out of this? So this natural, sinful, self-centered inclination that's there inside of the hearts of every one of us is really what our Lord is addressing here. And he talks about Gentile rulers who like to lord it over other people. They like to take advantage of the fact that they can possibly get some power over other people. St. Ambrose, back in the 4th century, when preaching to the Christians of his day up in northern Italy, Milan, Italy, he put this in one of his sermons. To Christians, this is interesting. There is your brother, naked, crying, and you stand there confused over the choice of an attractive floor covering. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Even back in his day. It just shows how even Christians struggle with this, that we're thinking about, well, what can I get in my world and what's good for me, even as we may at times pass by situations where we could be helping others. How little it takes for me to get my mind off of somebody else and on to Don and what I get. But this is not how greatness is to be measured in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of faith, the kingdom of Christ. Here, greatness is to be measured by the amount of service that someone renders, especially to someone who cannot pay you back, who could not pay you back. And here's why that is so significant and important. Because every time that happens in the lives of God's faithful, it's a tiny little picture of the huge example that God has provided us through Christ. Talk about a charity case. You and I, because of our sins and weaknesses, even our selfishness, God could easily have just walked past us and never helped us at all. Not only were we miserable in our sinful condition, but we were enemies of God. The sinful mind is hostile to God, the Bible says. But God still bent down to help us. He still stooped so low to come into this world. His own Son comes now to become one of us and to go and suffer all of the punishment, the horrific justice of God that you and I deserved. He put it upon himself when he went to the cross and suffered that in your place and in my place so that we could have not only our sins forgiven before God and be seen as holy before him, but would someday get to go and sit at the banquet feast of heaven. So you and I are the beneficiaries of the greatest charity situation that has ever existed in the world's history. And someday you're going to get to feast in heaven at the banquet of God because of that tremendous mercy, compassion, and charity of the Son of God. And so as benefactors of this most wonderful charity case there could ever be, God now loves to see little acts of charity in our lives, those of us who believe in Christ and are benefiting from that. Now, in our world today, here in the United States, our government has removed a lot of opportunities from us to show charity because we kind of do it through our tax system. And that's how the poor are often taken care of. And there's a danger to that because it sometimes makes us forget about, we feel like that's all taken care of now. And we don't really seek out opportunities where maybe we can show this same generosity and charity and mercy of God that he has shown toward us. But we don't have to look very hard. There are opportunities all around us, right on this campus, right in the dormitories, right with people that we work with and in our neighborhoods. And God loves to look into the lives of his faithful who know that they are the ultimate charity case coming to heaven through Christ. He loves to look into the lives of his faithful who believe and trust in that and to see these little acts of charity that show up in our day-to-day lives as well. There was a gentleman in another church that I served who told me that he was probably in his 70s and retired. And one of the happiest moments of his week every week was when he would go into a local restaurant and try to spot the person eating in the restaurant who looked like they maybe needed the most help and asking his waitress to go pick up their bill for them anonymously so that he could pay it for them. And he said that was the neatest feeling thing he had all week. Isn't it great that when God asks us to do charitable acts and show generosity toward people, that he has chosen to attach a joy to that? It's not painful. It's a joy. You know it in your life when you've had opportunities like that. It kind of makes you feel good. It's a wonderful thing, a joy that comes back. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. When we give in whatever way, there's a cheerfulness that comes back to us. And he promises, whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. So in our lives, let us be tiny little gospel sermons as we treat other people and deal with other people to show a little reflection of just how amazingly merciful and charitable God has been toward us as we look forward to our future home. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Please turn to the back side of your bulletin, the back panel. You'll find there the prayer for the week. Please join me in that in unison. Almighty and everlasting God, you have made us heirs of your eternal and great promises. Increase in us daily the gifts of faith, hope, and love, that we may love all that you command. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.